got a Bible that you guys please. So glad you're here. We're going to turn to the book of John. We are in our series, Believe and Live. We're going to continue in chapter 5 today, finish it up next week, and then we'll probably take a break and then go through Advent, which is crazy that that's coming. It kind of blows me away how fast this year is going. John chapter 5, today's sermon is called All Authority. Let me catch up with where we're at. We're going to look at verses 19 through 30 today. We've seen in this powerful, beautiful story as we've gone through this. Last week, Jesus was at the pool of Bethesda and he healed a man that for 38 years had been paralyzed. And these religious leaders were there. This pool of Bethesda was Jerusalem where all these guys would come. The lame and the sick would come. And just in case you missed last week, I hope you have your Bibles, because I was joking about it. I want you to see that I'm not making this up. Just like last week when I told you verse 4 is not in your Bible, chapter 5, verse 4 is not in there. And some of y'all looked at me like I was crazy. And now you can look at it right now, and it's still not in there. You have the King James Version back in the day. That's a whole other conversation we'll talk about in lunch, if you like. But I want you to see this, because there's some amazing, amazing stuff in here. And so last week, this paralyzed guy gets healed. Jesus heals him, and these religious leaders, these Jewish religious leaders come in there, and they're not exactly excited. I said last week, it's not very pastoral, but they're kind of jerks. They walk out there, and they're mad. They're like, who told you you could get your medal? And this guy says, hey, the man who healed me told me to do this. So they're accused him of breaking the Sabbath, their Jewish, their law that they had. And so they got mad. And so Jesus disappeared into the crowd. I'm just trying to set it up because this kind of all goes together. That's why I love going through books like this. And so Jesus disappears. Later, Jesus comes to the temple, finds that man. Okay, remember, all this is going to end with this conflict with him being crucified for you and for me. And so Jesus is stepping into this. Why? Because he loves you and he loves me. And there's eternity in the balance that we're going to talk about today. He finds this man at the temple, and he says, hey, you're well. Everything's still good. You're well. And so that man leaves and goes and finds those religious leaders and tells them, hey, Jesus, he's there. And so they show up, and there's going to be a conversation that's going to take place, and Jesus is going to step into this. I told you from the very beginning, all Jesus had to do, if you wanted to avoid being crucified for you and for me, is just leave well alone. But when he comes as the Son of Man and the Son of God, he's coming. Because at the end of that story last week, he said, hey, I work as the Father works. My Father works. And they just got enraged. Why? Because Jude would say, our Father. But you're saying you're equal with God. And last week's text, he was saying, this is why they wanted to kill him. So Jesus, as we get into our text today, is going to step into this. He's going to declare authority. He's going to have a conversation and basically a discourse of what he's going to claim to be. Next week, he's going to talk about witnesses and those that will also give an account. But today, we're going to look at a powerful text in 19 through 30. The title is called All Authority. If you'll stand, we'll read our text. We'll walk through this. I'm going to break it down into three sections for you. We'll see how Jesus has indeed all authority. John chapter 5, verse 19, we'll go through 30. In light of what I just said, here's what happened. Jesus gave them this answer in verse 19. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does. Verse 20. Well, the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. But just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as he honors the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. 24. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Amen. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and now has come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. Yeah. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. He has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time has come when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and they will come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Pray. Say it every week, not out of habit or routine, but I really mean it when I say this. If you would, just take a second, take a deep breath, relax, try to push everything to the margins of whatever's going on in your week. We got food to eat after church, maybe have things to get done after service. But as we continue to worship in the Word, I pray that you would just posture your heart in a place to receive, and that the Spirit of the living God would continually fall fresh on us, that we don't do church out of habit, out of routine, that somehow something that is said today, or even something that is not said today, would fall on your heart and you would be changed. If that's your desire, you pray. You ask to receive, you ask to receive. Father, you've heard your people. We come to this place and we do so with intent and with purpose. We come to celebrate you. We come to make much of you. We come to lift your name on high. And as we know, because you do have all of them, you're the boss. You're in control of everything. Eternity is in the balance. And as Jesus, as you spoke to the religious leaders, you're putting us all in a position where we've got to decide. We've got to make a decision. Are we going to worship you as king and a sovereign ruler over all as the Son of Man, or are we going to be judged by him? That's the weight and that's the tension. Help us to feel that. Help us to celebrate that. Help us to respond to that. And God, use this moment as an opportunity for you to get all the glory. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So may we see you. We're going to go quickly and get a lot to cover. As you heard, I hope in my prayer, this is a weighty text. And so I would be lying to you if I said, hey, this is just going to be kind of a, hey, this is the Son of Man, he's the Son of God, he came, he died for your sins, that's great. But I need you to hear my voice today, because there's a lot of stuff going to happen. There are people in this room, young and old, that aren't saved that don't know Jesus. That would be my love. This is just, I just feel the Lord is pressing this. There are people in this room today, and you know the facts, you know the figures, you know that he's the Son of God. You're not even going to believe that's who he is, but yet you have not receive that. You have not placed your faith and your trust. And there are those, if you have done that, we're going to celebrate that. So I just need you to feel the weight of this, because what Jesus is going to do is he's going to come in and he is going to again stir these waters of contempt and conflict that is ultimately going to lead to him being crucified on a cross to bleed out, to suffocate and die for you and for me. That's more than songs we sing. It is an eternal hope that we have in him. These religious leaders wanted to kill Jesus for making himself equal to God. Their response, church, their response to Jesus was wrong, but their understanding of what his statement was not. He was revealing himself as God. That was the base of his authority. Jesus is going to yet again stress his deity, that he is God, he's fully God, and he's going to do this in a powerful way. And maybe sometimes, I put it in my notes, because sometimes if I'm on the receiving end of a sermon like this, I might be thinking, okay, Pastor, what's the big deal? He's the Son, he's God, yes, yay. What else do you got? Well, nothing. That's what Jesus wants us to understand, that he is the Son of God and it changes everything. And I contend that if myself or any of us can yawn at the fact that Jesus is indeed fully God, then we're missing. If he's not God, he died a cruel death for nothing. It's because only God can redeem and rescue and reconcile us back to himself, and he chose to do so through his Son. So this understanding today, church, hear this, not just for yourself, for all of us in the room. This understanding brings eternal consequences. We're either, church, I said it in my prayer, we're either going to worship Jesus as the Son of God, or we're going to be judged by him. You heard in the text. And to set this up, just so you know that this is how it's a powerful transition. Last week, Jesus, if you're here last week, this is a repetition. Last week, do you remember what he said to the paralyzed man after he saw him at the temple? He said, go and sin no more so nothing worse happens to you. Now, I took a long time last week to explain it, but I want you to hear this. What's worse than being paralyzed for almost 40 years? Eternity. Eternity separated, eternity in hell, eternity not with God the Father. So I need you to understand that because Jesus is teed up, it's set up here. Jesus is not just trying to make an argument. He's going to win an argument, he has one. He's not trying to just make a statement. What he's trying to do, church, hear this. He's trying to put these religious leaders and all those that were here in a position to make a decision. You have to respond. There is no choice. When the word's out there, you have responsibility. When he's out there, he's putting you in a position. It is an act of grace where he's trying to get them to understand. He's not talking down to them. He wants them to understand because life is in the balance. So what he's going to do, I'm going to do it three ways. There's three basic ways. We'll put it on the screen, picture, note taker, of what Jesus is going to say he has authority. Number one, real quick, look up all three of them. If they're on there, try it. It's my fault. He says, I can do what God can do. Number two, I can offer what God can offer. And number three, I have power that only God can claim. That's kind of how I'm going to break this down in this whole text. So if you're a note taker, there you go. The first thing we can see in verses 19 through 20 is Jesus does what only God can do. He gave them the answer in verse 19. Very truly, or verily, verily, basically if you want to paraphrase it in today's words, to tell you the truth. He's going to say this over and over. To tell you the truth. Verily, verily, listen to what I'm telling you. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does. For the Father loves the Son, and he shows him all that he has. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you'll be amazed. Now, in that text, what he's saying is, there is a beautiful unity between the Father and the Son. It is a Trinitarian, wrong word, Trinitarian, that's a beautiful word, Trinitarian statement where Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. C.S. Lewis says you're going to go crazy to try to explain the Trinity. Try to just articulate, try to understand that this God of the universe is a God of one entity, but he's in three parts. Are you with me? But I find peace in the fact that there is a God that is so far beyond my ability to comprehend. I don't want to let you, but I don't want a God that I can sit down and I can just articulate it, right? Hey, here's how he is. Let me give you a few words that explain everything. I mean, I fall through the children's sermon. It's hard, by the way. Trying to explain the authority of God and trying to explain it to kids. There's just not the right words sometimes that explain it. Some of you parents understand that when your kids ask a question and you're trying to explain it, it's like, he's just a big God. He's the boss. He's massive. And I don't want us to approach this and just because it's hard to understand, this Father-Son dynamic and unity, that it's hard to understand that we miss it. I want a God that is so extensive, so big, so wonderful, that honestly I have a hard time even explaining. I want a God that is so big that when I stand on the stage to preach, I sometimes struggle to find the words to articulate. Does that make sense? But I find peace in the fact that he's massive. Boss. Jesus wants these Jewish leaders and us to know that he and the Father are in one. He does nothing on his own initiative. Jesus the Son never works, never acts, he never speaks, he never does anything on his own accord. It is always in direct unity with the Father. Now let that settle on you for a minute. Think of the things just in this book. If you didn't know this in any of the series at all, think of it just in this book. The wedding miracle. The Father's will. Clearing the temple out. That's the Father's will. Telling people you're going to have to die to follow the Father's will. This whole conversation with the woman at the well. Father's will. Killing the official son and rebuking the crowd that had to see the signs and wonders. That was all the Father's will. Healing the man at the pool. Father's will. Creating conflict and turmoil with his religious leaders as an act of grace to give an opportunity for them to make a decision. All of them. You being here this very day to listen to me. Father. Yeah. All that Jesus does, all that he says, all that he speaks and acts and does and brings, it is in direct unity with the Father. He wants them. And this is why you have to notice it from last week. This is just, if you pull it out by itself, you almost miss the tension here. These guys are mad. Are you with me this morning? They're mad. They want to kill him. And he's not running from it. They're going to kill him for this. He knows it. Jesus knows it. He steps into this fray. He says, hey, I'm going to double down on this. I'm going to step into this. Yeah, let me tell you, nothing happens that I do that the Father's not part of. Chew on that for a while, Pharisees. How does that settle on you? And I picture the people, I picture all those around, and it's just me kind of stepping into the text here of these peripheral people, because it's for them. There's eternity of balance, and there's no way for people to be ransomed and redeemed unless God does something. And by the way, Jesus is saying, that's me, I'm him. I love this, it's powerful. Verse 20, he says, greater works than these that will come. These are the things that he's done thus far. What could be greater than healing people, loving people, telling people about himself? Well, how about eternal hope, eternal security, eternal salvation, and he's the authority to judge. Number one, Jesus does what only God can do. There is a direct unity correlation with the Father and Son are together. The second one is Jesus offers what only God can offer, like in 21 through 23. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life. Father gives life, the Son gives life. To whom he pleases to give. Moreover, the Father judges no one. That's pretty loaded, by the way. The Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son, does not honor the Father who sent him. Jesus offers what only the Father can offer. What does this offer? Life. Your note taker, there's your note. What does Jesus offer that only God can offer? Life. Abundant life in this life to come. Eternal life. This had to, church, had to send these leaders over the edge. Well, now, this guy's nuts. He's a lunatic. Now he's proclaiming them as God, but now he's saying he's going to offer us something that only the Father can offer. So now you're saying you're equal, and now you're telling me you're going to be able to do and give what the Father can do. Yeah, we're going to kill it. I think I read this over and over this weekend. You know what? Can I be transparent with you? I kept reading this and I was thinking, this drum that Jesus is beating, it's got to be on purpose. Sometimes it seems like that, especially when you go through books, like maybe we just need to flip a page to the scripture. We're going to talk about it again next week. Personal testimony of witnesses that are coming, because this is like a courtroom where Jesus is making his case to these people of why he is indeed full of authority. C.S. Lewis said, Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or he is the Lord. The religious leaders, no doubt, thought that this man called Jesus was crazy. He was blasphemous. He was not only saying he was equal to God, he was also saying he could provide and offer life, eternal security, to whoever he pleases. Just a quick note, notice at the end of your verse, notes, at the end of verse 21. The Son of Man gives life to whom he pleases to give. If there is ever healing in your heart where you think, man, I'm good enough, I'm not a bad person, I've kind of made some good decisions, it's balanced, but I've made a lot of things. If we have any merit to ourselves of anything of salvation, that's a lie. Jesus alone offers and extends and provides and accomplishes salvation. Amen. Now this massive statement in 22 to 23 is when Jesus says he's the judge. He offers life, but he says he can judge. The Father won't judge. He has entrusted judgment to the Son. Now, can you picture, if you're visual, I mean, picture these religious leaders, their face, what he says. I'm sure they're just going mad, turning red. He's claiming to be the Son of God. Now, by the way, he said, I'm going to be the judge. The Father has entrusted judgment to me. Do you believe that? Because at churches sometimes we love to sing about the praises and the grace and the mercy of Jesus, but do you believe that Jesus Christ is the God of judge? I hope so, because the Bible tells us that. I wonder what these guys are saying if they were sitting going, whoa, it's massive. What judgment? We've got to flesh this out. It's not fair to the text. We're going to take it just a second. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, for we will all appear, it's off the screen for you, for we will all, there's that word again, kiddos, for we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things we have done while in the body, whether good or bad. And I said this before, I think often in the Bible Belt, sometimes we approach the judgment seat of Christ like Disneyland Fast Pass, where if I've been baptized, that I prayed a prayer, I've been dunked, that I didn't get to flash my Disney pass, or whatever the hell you do, if you ever got one of those. But however you do it, I get to skip that line, right? I get to go around. I get to miss that. Easy pass in. No, every one of us, whether you're a believer or not, is going to stand before the throne, stand before the King. Acts chapter 17, just in case you think I'm making this up, Acts 17 verse 30 says, in the past God overlooked such ignorance, but now commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he appointed. He has given proof to this to everyone by raising him from the dead. John 5 makes this crystal clear that that's Jesus. John writes for us this. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Revelation chapter 20, but we can't miss this. I can't skip this because it's hard. Because John, later on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 20, gives us a revelation of what that's going to look like. John writes in Revelation chapter 20, it'll be on the screen. But I need you to see this, and please hear the weight of this. John says, then I saw a great white throne in him who was seated on it. Jesus. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. But I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books, plural, books were open. And another book was open, which was the book of life. The good book. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the book, seeing of the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into a lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death, and anyone whose name was not found in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Now that is the old school fire and brimstone, that kind of stuff, where sometimes people say, I don't need more of that. The truth is that I don't have to beat this. The truth is that if that doesn't bring weight, and the reason this room gets a little bit quiet in the stillness, and even children get a little bit quiet in these moments, because the Holy Spirit can get pretty thick in these times. Hear that? Because eternity is, we're all going to do that. We're all going to stand before it. We don't have to do it with fear. We can do it with hope and confidence, as the Scripture tells us. But this is the judgment. Jesus is saying, you're going to receive me as the Son of God, or you're going to be judged by me. The scriptures from Paul, John writes again, he gives us very much clarity on what this is going to be. We can approach that day with confidence, as 2 Corinthians 5 tells us. So we'll stand before King Jesus, and we're all going to be judged. There's two types of books that are open. The Lamb's book, and other books that are open with deeds. Our confidence, excuse me, on that day, young and old, doesn't matter. Please hear this. Please feel the weight of it. I pray the Spirit would help us to grasp this, that we do not have to approach that day with fear, anxiety, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with all authority has conquered and prepared us for that day. Amen. And he is saying this to these religious leaders. Hear this. He is saying to these leaders, he is creating the conflict. He's going to eventually get crucified. He's going to get killed. He's going to get put in the grave. And he's going to get raised from the dead. He's going to conquer all that so that we can approach with hope. Oh, I'm not an alien God. That's an alien moment. Thank you. Our confidence. Yes, our confidence comes from this. According to Revelation 20, there's other books open. All of our deeds, what we did, how we lived our lives. They're both open. It's not just open the book of life. Yeah, it's in there. David is on. At the end of all the A's. AC, I was always at the end of the first line, okay? That's how my life's always been. You're going to find my name in there, Jesus, because why? Because I got baptized when I was 5 years old. If I read this correctly, there's two books open. There's other books. There's books of deeds, and what that is that's fruit, and that's evidence of, yeah. Yeah. I pray and hope that the fruit and evidence of that decision rings true, and I can approach that day with confidence. Because Jesus Christ, he told these guys, and he tells us today, that he indeed is the judge. The Father has entrusted judgment to the Son. We can stand before him with hope and confidence. And I got to press this today. Young and old, hear my voice. Can you approach that day with confidence? And if you're thinking, hey, I'm just passing through. I just want to eat some biscuits and some food after church or whatever. You may get, hey, maybe salvation can happen and get some biscuits. There you go, sermon right there. If we don't have biscuits, I'm sorry. I need you to hear this, young and old. Are you prepared for that day? I can't stand up here as your pastor and talk about God's going to judge, Jesus is the Son of God, and not press this and say, are you prepared with confidence because you've placed your faith in Christ?
Amen. Yeah.
Whoever honors the Son, honors the Father. We have confidence, not because of anything we bring to the table. We can't be good enough, we can't start, we can't cut the church enough, we can't fill up with a plate, we can't do enough good deeds. It is all based on the merit of another, and that is Jesus. The blood of the Lamb, Jesus, we paid our debt, we owe him everything. So much has changed in that. It has changed the trajectory of my life, and it's now about him. Verse 23, he says he is the judge, that all may honor him as they honor the Father. You don't honor Jesus? You don't honor the Father. There's a lot of religions. There's a lot of them that want to dabble with Jesus, but they want to say, yeah, Jesus is not really, it's just part of the whole thing. But if you don't, if you dishonor Jesus, you dishonor the Father. They are one. Jesus is a plane. He's not messing around here. He says, if you dishonor the Son, you dishonor the Father. Think about those guys. He's telling them there's hope. He's not condemning them. He's not trying to just win a debate with them. This is a moment of grace. There's hope, guys. If Jesus was the guy that said, hey, fellas, there's hope, and he used that word, hey, there's hope. Hope's come. It's me. I have the authority. Don't run from it. Don't push it away. Believe. And listen, look at verse 24. Very, verily, truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes has eternal life. Will not be brought into judgment, but has crossed from death to life. Isn't that an amazing truth today?
Yes.
That as we stand before the King, when that moment comes, we stand before the Son of God, we don't have to be anxious about it, we don't have to wrestle with it. We stand, but our account is paid by another, the one who is in the chair. Women, that's good news. Maybe there's somebody today that says, okay, Pastor, I'm in, talk to me. This is the beauty of the gospel. This is what this is all about. And I pray that the Spirit of God would quicken our souls today, that something in you, young or old, something in you would be birthed to life, and that all of a sudden these stories, all of a sudden the stuff about Jesus, all of a sudden the things of eternity, they begin to click and they begin to matter because it's important, because it's eternal. To believe and to hear is to have life. We've talked about belief, and if you've been with us, belief in existence is not enough. You cannot believe just in the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, and you hope that's going to do it. It doesn't work that way. True belief, I said it before, is to delight, to embrace, and to treasure him. Our life is marked by him. Jesus has come. He has died. He has been resurrected, and the penalty for our sin has been absorbed upon us.
Thank you, Lord.
He alone can judge because he alone offers the all-sufficient sacrifice. He is the all-sufficient. Paul puts it this way. This will come back in a minute, too. It'll be on the screen. Once you, meant you, if you just want to mark that out and put once David, once put your word, put your name in. Once David, you were alienated, you were separated from God, and you were an enemy in your mind because of your evil behavior. But now, if you want to put this all in context, because you believe, because you hear, but now you are reconciled. You are made righteous. You are made right with the Father because of what Christ has done, his physical body through death, can present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and without accusation.
Lord, thank you, Jesus. Yes.
I don't ask for amens a whole lot. But that was it. You swung and missed it. Okay? Try to light it up a little bit. To stand before the Son of God, free from accusation. Holy, no blemish, free from accusation. Reconciled by the Father. That is what Jesus the Son can do. That is what Jesus can offer. That is what a true judgment is. So Jesus, number three. So Jesus' authority. It means number one, he can do what only God can do. Number two, he can offer what only God can offer. Number three, he has power that only God can claim. 25-30, more about this. Again, verily, verily, or very truly, truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to also have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge. We talked about that. To judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear the voice. They're going to come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. By myself, here's that unity again, verse 30. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, it's not about me, but he says, I come and I judge to please the Father who sent me. The power that Jesus has is authority over all men and authority over eternal destiny. Jesus points to two events, one that is coming and one that has come. The time that is coming is when Jesus returns, and his culmination is gathering of the church, and the dead in Christ will rise. 1 Thessalonians talks a lot about that, where the dead in Christ is going to rise. There's going to be a resurrection take place, and the results are life or judgment. The time that has come is the right now, where believers are moved, maybe God help us, maybe today, are moved from death to life. They're rescued from their sins. They're born again, believing in the Lord Jesus. And the judge looks at us as paid in full. The debt of your sin is paid in full. That is the power that the Son of God has. Now think about these religious leaders. Think about these guys. They've got to be flipping out. They've got to be going nuts by now. The time has come in, and the time now has come. And Jesus is going to raise the dead. My prayer today is pretty simple. I know we have some visitors with us, and we got a little meal going on, but my prayer today is that maybe those that can hear my voice, just stay with me for just a second, I'm almost done. That there's people in this room, I said it at the outgoing of this sermon, there are people in this room that know a lot about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus as well. And I'm not a doubter, I'm not trying to sling anything, but I'm just trying to get us to understand the magnitude of what the scripture's saying. Because I believe, and I say this, and I don't mean to be open about this, I truly said, I believe that Bible Belt preaching is some of the hardest in the world because there's so many people that claim to know him, but their life is not marked by him. And you're flipping pages, it's so fruit and evidence, but there's nothing there. There's no evidence or no marks of that. And what is evidence in your life to say that you are a follower of Jesus? And I want us to feel the weight of this today. I want you to understand that if you have not heard, as what she said, those who hear and those who believe, when the Holy Spirit quickens your soul and something comes alive, and it's not just enough to listen anymore, there is a response to be had. There's something that you need to do. You want to step out, and you want to talk to mom, you want to talk to dad, you want to pull a preacher aside, somebody say, I don't know this Jesus. I know about him, but I don't know him. And I can't face that thing with confidence. Are you with me today? Where are you, Minister? As the religious leaders, does it make you kind of squirm a little bit? Does it make you intrigued where you want to step in? And not out of fear. There's nothing about fear here. We can do it with confidence because of Jesus. I said this text earlier, Colossians chapter 1. Son is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation. Kiddos, this is when I ask you to count all the balls of those who count to you. The Son is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him.
Amen.
And for Him.
Yes.
He is before all things. And in Him all things hold together. Yes. He is the head of the body. He is the head of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. So that in everything He might have supremacy. He's the boss. For God was pleased, this is beautiful, God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell in Him. Okay? God was pleased to have all of God, all of who He is, dwell in Jesus, fully God, fully man. But that's not enough. Look at verse 20, it's on the screen. And through Him, through Jesus, through this Son of Man, the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist said, He came to reconcile to Himself. Here it comes again. All things.
Amen.
The things in heaven,
yes.
On earth,
yes.
Making peace through His bloodshed on the cross. What I said, Lord, once
Lord Jesus.
David was alienated. I'm not going to call any names, but once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your mind because of the way you lived your life.
Yes.
But now, it's a beautiful, but now, He's reconciled you. He's brought you back. He's made you righteous. By Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His
sight.
No blemish. Free from accusation.
Yes.
Jesus,
that's glory.
Does what only God can do. Jesus offers only what God can offer. Jesus has power that only God can do. But what He's doing, and I'm done. Not really. I got it. He's putting it in your lap. Those Pharisees had to make a decision. Those Pharisees had to respond. We know. We know what the story goes. But church, where's your story? Are you with me? Where are you today? You're either going to accept Him. And believe or you're judged by. I love you enough to tell you that's what Jesus is trying to do. The hope is simple. He is all of them. And just in case if there's not enough today, maybe for some of us here today, that the eternal part is great, but does this text have anything for the here and now? What about street level, Pastor? What about today? What about what I'm going through right now? I got a lot going on. I got my eternity secure. I know, I believe, I've heard, I believe. But what about today? Life's kind of brutal. Does this text have anything, any bearing on street level, trying to follow Jesus, when the walls of my life seem to be closing in? Jesus has authority, but I'm having a hard time with what He feels like. Relationships, health, death, worry, anxiety, COVID, isolation, finances, fear, burdens, all of that. How does all authority of Jesus really matter in the street level day to day? Does it? This would be a great time to say, come back next week. It does. The hope is simple. It's not fancy. The hope is simple. Jesus is God, and because He is God, His voice, His power, and His promises will have the final word. What you are going through now, look at me, what you are going through now will not have the final word on you. I'm not trying to lighten your load. I'm not trying to make it less than. That As a follower of Jesus, whatever you're going through, it's not going to have the final word. Jesus, in his all-sufficient authority, will have the final word.
Yes.
That's it. Would you pray with me?
Lord, thank you, Jesus.
I don't know if we'd like to. We're going to sing the last song. But just for a second, just every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But I just want you to sit for just a second. My prayer at the beginning was that the Holy Spirit would just fill this place and land on you. And whatever that is, maybe it's what you're going through, maybe you don't know Jesus, and maybe you're just kind of having this stuff stirring in you a little bit, and you just need a place to put it. I just pray that you would find, talk to your mom, talk to your dad, talk to your parents, talk to somebody, talk to a friend, talk to your Sunday school teacher. Adult, find a friend. But before we stand and sing and celebrate our hope in Jesus, it'll be going to be a fantastic meeting. Feel the weight of the authority of Jesus. Eternity is in the balance. It's more than a story. He comes with purpose. He comes with hope. Where are you today? He put these guys in a decision to respond or be judged. It's the same for us. You pray. Celebrate with hope. We ask you to thank you, Jesus.